One, two, three, four.
Song Salad
with Shannon and Scott.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're
back!
The classic dinosaur animation movie starring John Goodman from the late 90s.
Wait, what?
We're back. Look it up.
Okay. I didn't know that.
It's one of my favorite movies. If you've seen We're Back, tweet at us, at Song Saladcast.
Great.
We will post a YouTube video of a song from it.
Will we? We always say we will do things.
By we, I mean you, because
yeah.
You'll listen to this and remember, oh crap, we need to post that.
Yeah, that's what I'll do. We took a week off.
Happy Labor Day.
Happy Labor Day. And then the week before that, we had a little special little short episode because we were having too much fun and we forgot to record certain specific important parts of this podcast.
But thank you again to all of our friends that helped us record Blubber Hot Dog.
Yeah.
We had a great time.
You guys are awesome. We love you. Thank you. We have a new review.
We do.
And I will tell you what it is in just a moment.
Through the magic of editing, Shannon will find the review now.
This is by Sammy Jellin.
Hey, Sammy.
It's titled, I'm going to read the whole thing.
Okay.
It's titled, I'd check it out, TBH. And the review is, seriously, bro, you're missing out.
Well.
Thank you, Sammy.
Short and sweet.
much appreciated. I'm glad you're checking us out, to be honest.
TBH.
What exactly is Sammy checking out?
A song salad, which is...
a random topic.
And a random genre.
Mixed together.
To make form...
A song.
Salad.
Oh, we didn't. That's not good.
This whole passing off thing didn't really work as we intended.
But we mind melded on, and together we're back.
Right.
So I really thought we had like a trajectory.
You would think.
But no. It's been a long weekend and a long couple weeks.
It has.
Especially for Scott.
You know what? I'm plowing through and making salads.
We do have salad spinner suggestions.
We do.
We have two that are on deck. So let's start with the first one, which is...
Did you screenshot it?
Yes, I did. Finding the salad spinner sound suggestion. Do 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 do. It was a long time ago. Bow, bow,
bow, bow, if you bow. Have a song salad spinner suggestion,
tweet it at us.
At Song Salad Cast.
On Twitter. All right. From Brandon Brosimer.
Mm-hmm.
At BB Rosemer. Your salad spinner should sound like Alton Brown making a salad.
Okay. Thank you, Brandon. Let's spin the salad spinner on moodfuse.com and find our genre.
Okay, great.
Now, when you combine the lettuce
structure
with
of
the
dressing,
vinegar, it becomes a classic dish from the early 1600s called farfenbouche. Klezmer!
Perfect.
Oh, just in time for your favorite Jewish holiday, Labor Day.
Yeah.
We're doing klezmer music.
The Jewish peoples were very important in the labor movement.
Yes.
Klezmer.
Oh,
okay. So,
this will be fun.
So let's talk about klezmer.
Klezmer is a musical tradition of the Ashkenazi Jews of Eastern Europe. Played by professional musicians called klezmerim, the genre originally consisted largely of dance tunes and instrumental display pieces for weddings and other celebrations. In the United States, the genre evolved considerably as Yiddish-speaking Jewish immigrants from Eastern Europe, who arrived between 1880 and 1924, met and assimilated American jazz.
Ooh.
Jazz always creeps its way in there. During the initial years...
Damn that jazz.
Always finding its way. During the initial years after the klezmer revival of the 1970s, this was what most people knew as klezmer, although in the current century, musicians have begun paying more attention to the original pre-jazz traditions as revivalists including Josh Horowitz, Yale Strom, and Bob Cohen have spent years doing field research in Eastern/Central Europe. Additionally, later immigrants from the Soviet Union, such as German Goldenstein, took their surviving repertoires to the United States and Israel in the 1980s.
Hmm. How much do you know about klezmer?
Not much.
Cool. Me either.
Well, I think we have to amend that.
Okay. The term klezmer comes from a combination of Hebrew words, kli, meaning tool or utensil, and zmer, meaning to make music. Oh.
Literally, so, vessels of song or musical instrument.
That makes sense.
Huh.
So originally, the word klezmer referred to musical instruments. But later it was extended to refer pejoratively to musicians themselves. That's so interesting. Hmm. And so then from the 16th to 18th centuries, it replaced older terms such as lietz, which means clown.
It was not until the late 20th century that the word came to identify a musical genre. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Klezmer is distinguished by its expressive melodies, reminiscent of human voice, complete with laughing and weeping.
Mm, that makes sense.
Does it?
It does.
Okay. It's meant to imitate kazon and paraliturgical singing. So semi-religious singing?
Right. Well, in synagogues, there's usually a cantor who sings in Hebrew the text of the Torah, and it's all set to certain musical phrases that coincide with the words. And I think in klezmer music, especially when you're using a violin or a clarinet,
the melodies
sort of echo those sung melodies and have a lot of like bending and sliding of the pitches.
You'll have to do some examples of that. So some of the history of klezmer music is really interesting. In the long and proud tradition of religious figures disapproving of music, see Footloose as Exhibit A.
I don't know if we want to go comparing Footloose to the Jewish people.
Yeah, but rabbis disapproved of playing music shortly after the... Wait, scroll up for a second. What was it called? The destruction of the Second Temple in 70 CE. So, like, very, very long time ago. But there was still a need for musicians at wedding ceremonies and other celebrations. And so the klezmerim filled that niche. And like you were saying, a lot of it was inspired by the devotional music in the synagogue. And they would also sometimes play for Christian churches and the local aristocracy. And they also, because the klezmerim, similar to like traveling bands of actors and such, were looked down upon and considered in a lower social strata.
Sort of like gypsies?
Yeah. Well, they actually played with Romani musicians who are gypsy musicians. And actually, Romani and klezmer musicians had a great influence on one another. And some of the klezmer argot, which is like slang, which we talked about in one other episode, argot. I don't remember which one.
Don't remember.
Verlong, because we talked about Verlong. Never mind.
Don't remember that either.
I'm the only one who pays attention to our episodes, apparently. But in any case, there's a lot of klezmer argot in Yiddish that has Romani roots.
Interesting.
So I thought that was cool. And then, of course, following the persecution of the Jewish peoples, klezmerim were banned from playing loud instruments in places like the Ukraine, which are why a lot of the musicians took up the violin or something called a cymbal or cymbalom,
and
stringed instruments, basically, which were considered less loud. And it wasn't until Alexander II of Russia did Ukraine permit klezmerim to play loud instruments. And that's when the clarinet started to replace the violin. And then following the diaspora of the Jews from Eastern Europe, following World War II, all over the world, klezmer spread that way.
Cool. Well, I was reading about the repertoire and the actual klezmer music, and you know, as with a lot of these musical traditions, it was passed down orally and taught by ear. But a lot of it was lost during the Holocaust. So, you know, a big part of the klezmer repertoire disappeared at that time. And all that remained was anything that had been transcribed by chants before then or recorded A lot of the klezmer wedding music could go on for days at a time with long Jewish weddings, but recording equipment of that time could only capture a few minutes here or there. So that's all we know of that music, even though it went on for hours on end, which is kind of interesting. And people that play klezmer music today reference all those old recordings and old traditional songs that we know about, but typically learn from, you know, lead sheets or fake books, as they're called, of classic klezmer music.
Interesting. So that's like, is a lead sheet or a fake sheet like the Cliff Notes version of a piece of music?
Basically, just a melody and chords with no other specific accompaniment information.
Interesting. Our friend Todd, who is like the unheard third person of our podcast because we talk about him all the time, but his dad had a klezmer band. What was it called? It had a really punny name, didn't it?
Yes.
Rockin' Shake, Rabbi, and Roll?
Shake, Rabbi, and Roll.
Todd, yeah. If that's right, tweet at us, but I'm pretty sure that was your dad's klezmer band, Shake, Rabbi, and Roll, which is awesome.
So we already talked about the orchestration of traditional klezmer music. In addition to the clarinet and violin that are common, we also have piano and accordion or other stringed instruments accompanying basic percussion instruments, hand percussion. And we should also talk quickly about the harmonies and melodies as they exist. So the chord progressions follow traditional Middle Eastern and Greek chord progressions and so have
that
a
kind of like minor-y,
yeah,
sort
the,
of
the
pentatonic.
Scales used are and used in a lot of folk music, the harmonic minor or Phrygian dominant, which means a flat second degree of the scale. The form of the song is usually A, B, C, B.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
Which is interesting. Having a distinct third section is distinctive of klezmer music. And a common ending is an upwards chromatic run or glissando followed by a slow staccato 8-5-1, which means... bump, bump.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
They may also end with a coda, a new melodic line that is accompanied by a change in the percussion rhythm and an increase in tempo. So that's like in Fiddler on the Roof when they're doing like a really slow sunrise, sunset, and then all of a sudden it goes into the fast dance music.
Yeah, okay. Cool.
So one thing to keep in mind with klezmer music is that there are very specific types of songs in klezmer music.
Oh, okay.
And I think we should...
pick a type.
Maybe pick a type, and maybe we should let the genre pick the type. I don't know.
Okay.
But I think we could probably go with one of two specific popular types.
Okay.
The first one is called I'm probably going to pronounce this wrong, but a Freilich.
Freilich?
Freilich, which is a popular, upbeat, fast, danceable klezmer song.
Cool.
And it's in a 3+3+2 rhythm, which is that bop, 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 bop.
That's fun.
It's done as a dance in a circle, and it has kind of like an oompa beat from a piano or accordion or bass, and it has another name in Yiddish called bulgur.
Okay.
So, but I guess...
like Bulgarian?
Freilich.
Oh, Bulgarian.
Yeah. Freilich means festive in Yiddish.
Cool.
So there are a lot of other fast, dancey klezmer songs. The slow, like, lamenting klezmer song is called a... Doina? And it's an improvisational lament.
Oh, boy.
Performed solo and is important in weddings. So that's like that kind of very sad, like solo clarinet kind of thing that you think of, or solo violin thing. So we can either choose to do a sad klezmer song or a happy Freilich.
Well, considering that the freeform ones... have very particular references to Jewish prayer and Eastern European laments,
we'll be fine.
We might be ill-equipped to write that. But yeah, I guess we'll have to see what the topic is.
Our example this week is going to be Spreiz ich mir by the Klezmatics.
Spreiz ich mir.
And I'm so sorry for all of this pronunciation.
As always.
We should put a disclaimer at the beginning of every episode.
I know. We're going to mispronounce your language. Apologies. Yeah.
have our genre. Should we get our topic?
Yeah, let's get the topic, and then I'm going to look up themes in klezmer lyrics.
Great. Let's spin our salad spinner.
We have another salad spinner suggestion.
Are we doing two different spinners in one episode?
Why not?
Let's do it. Okay. Let's be bold.
I have to find it again. Jill Jensen at This Is Jay Jensen says, I would like to request the spinner to sound like Harry's wand performing an Accio spell.
I think you mean Accio. And I haven't even read Harry Potter.
Yeah, well, I read it, but I didn't watch the movies, so I don't know what they sound like.
Accio.
Accio.
It means come here.
Yeah.
In wizard.
It does. Sorry, wizards, we're mispronouncing your language, too. So, how does his sound...
How does his wand sound?
Yeah.
It sounds like this.
Really?
That's me just, like, swishing something in the air.
Okay, so you do that, and I'll do the thing coming to the wand.
Okay, here we go.
Okay. Okay.
Let It Ride.
Let It Ride is a film from 1989.
Classic American comedy.
Directed by Joe Pitka, starring Richard Dreyfuss, David Johansen, Terry Garr, Jennifer Tilly, Cynthia Nixon, and Robbie Coltrane. I've heard of like half of those people.
I know.
It was written by Nancy Dowd.
Credited as Ernest Morton.
Huh.
That's weird.
And based on the novel Good Vibes by Jay Cronley. The story's light comedy is centered on a normally unsuccessful habitual gambler. I thought they meant like a normally.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Lots of adjectives. Habitual gambler who experiences a day in which he wins every bet he places and focuses on the personality contrast and perpetually upbeat, hopeful attitudes of losers.
Weird.
What?
Okay.
Okay.
So
what's the plot
here's the plot.
Movie.
Jay Trotter drives a cab. Jay Trotter is played by Richard Dreyfuss.
Okay.
His friend, Looney, also a cab driver, has a secret microphone in his taxi to record his passengers' conversations. Looney has a tape of two men talking about a horse race and how one of the horses, due to some unethical practice by its owner, is a sure thing to win big. Jay goes back to the track and places a bet, despite the fact that the day before he told his wife Pam that he would quit betting and be home to start their marriage over at noon.
At noon.
In the restroom of the bar next door, he prays to God, just one day. That's all I'm asking for. One day, I'm due. I should do that in a Richard Dreyfuss voice.
What's a Richard Dreyfuss voice?
Just one day. That's all I'm asking for. One day. I'm Richard Dreyfuss. I'm due.
You sound like, what's his bucket from the murder show?
The murder show?
What's his name? Robert Durst.
Oh, Robert Durst. Oh,
God.
A man exiting the bathroom says, yeah, so's Jesus. Let it ride.
What? Okay.
Jay promptly places a $50 bet. The horse wins in a photo finish and pays $28.40
to win, earning him...
Oh, got it. $710.
How does 20...
I think it's 28.40 on the dollar.
Oh. Oh.
Armed with a newfound sense of confidence, Jay approaches the two men from Looney's cab and generously gives them the tape of their conversation. Out of gratitude, they give him a tip for the next race. He places a bet and wins again.
Wait, so he turns in his friend Looney? Like, he gives them
the tape
because they don't know that his friend has been illegally recording them in his cab. So he...
This was before the NSA. No one cared.
Yeah, but I don't get why they would be like, thank you this tape of us talking.
It's weird. Sensing that this could be his lucky day, Jay goes on picking winner after winner, letting it ride, because that's the title of the movie, betting all of his winnings each time. As he accumulates more money, he uses his new friend's membership in the track's exclusive dining room and he starts coming into contact with other gamblers, including the wealthy Mrs. Davis.
Mm.
And a sexy vixen named Vicky.
Of course it
Jennifer is. Tilly. He becomes a hero to the ticket seller, Robbie Coltrane, whose window he uses every time, and to the customers of the Trax Bar. However, he has totally neglected his wife, Pam.
No.
Pam flies into a rage when she confronts her husband at the track. He cannot stop. He takes a survey of the track patrons and, eliminating any selection they give him, bets on the one remaining horse, Fleet Dreams, which wins. Jay decides to call it a day and goes home to Pam, buying her a diamond necklace on the way. At home, he finds Pam intoxicated and passed out.
Aww.
He heads back to the track to help the patrons of Marty's bar across the street, but when he suggests sharing his luck by betting their money together, they balk at the idea. Disconcerted, he goes for a walk around the track. Vicky offers to, quote, go to bed with him.
What could that mean?
Jay, quote, breaks the fourth wall, end quote, by saying to the audience, quote, am I having a good day or what?
Oh my God.
Ultimately, he turns Vicky down by professing his love for his wife. Yeah, you better.
Ugh.
Jay makes a final bet of $68,000, his winnings for the day, after Looney advises him not to bet on Hot to Trot. As the race begins, Looney and Trotter agree over everything. Oh, wait. His name is Jay Trotter and he bets on horse races.
Oh.
Looney and Trotter argue over everything, and the main characters all make resolutions. In Vicky's case, she vows to give up rich guys and consider a poor one looking at Looney. The race comes down to a photo finish. While everyone awaits the result, Pam shows up to thank Jay for his lovely gift and to tell him not to worry about the money. When the announcer reports the winner, Hot to Trot, the entire racetrack erupts in celebration, and Pam asks, why is everyone cheering? Jay replies, because I'm having a very good day.
So what's the conflict? He just wins everything.
Well, let me give you a little insight into the success of this movie.
I'm looking it up on Rotten Tomatoes.
The budget, $18 million.
Oh my God.
Box office, just under $5
million. Oh, snap.
Sorry, Richard Dreyfuss.
Damn. Okay, wait, what's it called? Hot to Trot?
No, it's called Let It Ride. Okay. But our song might be called Hot to Trot.
Hot to Trot is a way better name for this movie than Let It Ride.
Also, the poster shows Richard Dreyfuss clinging to a horizontal dollar sign as if it were a horse running down a racetrack.
But he's in the sky. Hold on, I'm going to look it up on Rotten Tomatoes.
Now, I'm also interested in why Nancy Dowd, the screenplay writer, was credited as Ernest Morton.
Probably so she could get her damn screenplay produced.
Or maybe she's embarrassed by it.
Oh, Let It Ride. 30% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Could be worse. So we just watched the trailer.
Okay, listen. So, revelation number one.
Uh-huh.
Definitely thought Richard Dreyfuss was Michael Douglas until I watched this trailer.
Is revelation number two that my impression was spot on?
Yes, because that's like, that's what Michael Douglas sounds like.
You're welcome. Revelation number three, you could make a movie called Let It Ride about someone playing roulette, and it would be just as interesting as this movie looks.
There's literally no conflict in this
movie. I'm
going
to put it on red 27 this time.
Yeah.
Okay.
He just keeps betting on the horses, and he keeps winning.
That's it. That's it.
That's the whole movie.
But only after he prays to God in a bathroom stall.
Yes. And everybody has a Brooklyn accent.
For some reason.
Yeah.
Terry Garr is literally in Little Shop of Horrors in this movie.
Jennifer Tilly's doing her Jennifer Tilly thing.
She is.
Don't watch this movie ever is what I took away from this trailer. Okay, so a klezmer song about this dude's luck, I guess? I mean...
Well, I think it's a klezmer song about how if you trust in God enough, you'll start winning at horse racing bets.
Great. I'm going to look up some themes of klezmer music, and you are going to make your band?
Yeah, and we should also come up with a name for our klezmer band, because a lot of klezmer bands have very clever, punny names, so
Clev.
I know, I was just trying to think of that, but
like one was called Hot Pastrami. Which is not a pun, but it's just funny.
But it's funny. Yeah. Because it's also like Jewish cultural identity kind of stuff.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Okay, we'll think of a name.
Great.
Okay. So I have lyrics.
Yeah?
Yes.
Read them.
Okay. So it follows the A, B, C, B structure.
A, B, C, B.
A, B, C, B. And the A section is like a little bit slower. Uh-huh. And like the sort of like lamenty section.
Sure.
And then, well, then you'll see.
Okay. Read it.
Okay. So it starts out with his prayer to God.
From the bathroom stall.
Yes, from the bathroom stall. I paraphrased it a little bit.
Okay.
But the important words are there. Okay. Just one day, God, that's all I pray. Just one day, I'm due. You and me, God, will take the whole day. You and me, God, you and me. So, like, some riffing or something.
Oh, God.
And then the B section. Today's the day I get up on my luck. My fortune's long past due. My wife will see I'm more than a schmuck. Had to use some Yiddish. Problems over, dreams come true. And then the C section, is...
It's not a funny thing.
It's a word that sounds like another word. I don't know.
What's that called? A homonym?
Homonym.
Hey. Education.
Things we need. So the C section is, oh, the horses fly around the track. Oh, I can't look. Someone tell me when they're back. And then the B section repeats itself, but the lyrics are slightly different. Today's the day I get up on my luck. My fortune's long past due. I'll prove to myself I'm more than a schmuck, and I'll make our dreams come true.
So hopeful.
Yes.
So, and we know that in the movie, that happened.
Yeah, because there's no conflict in this movie.
Nope.
So I was thinking you should probably sing it as Richard Dreyfuss.
Since I do a spot-on impression.
In your pitch-perfect Richard Dreyfuss impression, and use your Long Island accent. Your best Long Island slash Brooklyn accent. Yeah, this weird accent that everyone in the movie seemed to have.
Right.
I think that will really sell it.
I think that would sell it more than us trying to translate this into Hebrew or
Yiddish.
Yeah,
no. That cannot be. It cannot come to pass.
So can we still call it Hot to Trot, even though it's not in the song?
Yeah, 100% we can. People do that all the time. Panic at the Disco did that with, like, every song.
And then what's our klezmer band name? Well, let me tell you about the instrumentation first,
and then you can ruminate on a band name. Okay.
So I'm going to use some classic klezmer instruments, including violin, especially for that slower A section intro. It's going to be sort of a lamenting violin solo along with the voice. And then I'm going to incorporate a more upbeat tempo with that 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2 kind of rhythm. And I'll have a drum set, I'll have trombone, keep the violin going, and I'll add some klezmer clarinet, which has a lot of those, like, bending and laughing kind of sounds in it, which, here's an example of that. And I'm also going to have bass. And at the very end, you'll hear that kind of run up, the chromatic run of do-do-do-do-do-do. Will be our ending.
And why is that called 8-5-1? Is that the chords?
It's the name of the, well, the number of the note in the scale.
Oh. So oh, that's eight, simpler five, than I was one. Making yeah. it. Okay.
Yep.
Yes. So the only klezmer band name that I came up with that's like a Yiddish pun is the sound of one shtick slapping.
Wait, what?
Because like slap shtick, right?
The sound of one stick slapping?
No, wait. Shtick slapping. It's hard to say.
The sound of one shtick
slapping. Because slap shtick.
Yeah, but is the sound of one stick slapping, is that a thing?
No, it's the sound of one hand clapping.
That's a thing?
Yes.
I've never heard that phrase before. The sound of one hand clapping?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like it's like one of those like Taoist... Oh. Things you ruminate on. What's the sound of one hand clapping?
Yeah.
What is the sound of one hand
clapping? I like that then. What's the sound of one shtick slapping?
But I mean, it's slapstick, but like, shtick. I don't know. It's dumb. It was terrible. No, I'm deleting it.
No, let's keep it.
No, it's bad. It's very
fine.
Bad.
Fine. Then what else do we got?
I don't know. Sticks and stones.
Sticks and stones. Sticking with the one.
I'm really just.
Sticking with the one word you know.
I'm stuck on the, I don't know, what, like
how about Meshuggah and Spice?
Oh my God. I was going to say something about how horribly goy we sound right now.
That's good too.
Boys and goys?
Boys and goys. Goy meets world. How about
goy sauce?
Goy sauce?
Like, oh, sauce.
That has nothing to do with anything.
So?
Okay, more.
I came up with the famitzvahs. what did you think of one?
Schlong salad?
No. Oh my God. We could change our name on Twitter just for this week to Schlong salad.
Oof, we'd get more follows.
Oh, we sure would. More of those cam girls would follow us for sure.
What else you got?
Goys in the hood.
Goys to men.
Goys to men. I like Meshuggah and Spice.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, that is pretty good.
It probably exists, honestly.
Like 100% there is a klezmer band named Meshuggah and Spice. Or a podcast named Meshuggah and Spice.
Yeah. Holla if you hear me. The Yiddish Tupac crossover band.
Oh.
Adam Shtetl.
No one's gonna know what that is because nobody knows.
That's
Adam.
A funny joke.
It's a funny joke for the four musical theater performers out there who know who Adam Gettle is.
And also what a shtetl is.
Yeah. Gentile giants.
That's really good. Well, I think we should just pick one.
I like Meshuggah and Spice.
Okay, let's go with that.
Okay.
Although we had a lot of good contenders.
Yeah. Hot to Trot by
Meshuggah and Spice.
By Shannon and Scott. Yeah.
Sung by Richard Dreyfuss. Special guest star.
But look. Oh, it's going to be so good. Okay.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Just one day, God. That's all I pray. Just one day. I'm due. You and me, God, will take the whole day. You and me, God, you and me. Today's the day I get up on my luck. My fortune's long past due. My wife will see I'm more than a schmuck. Problems over, dreams come true. And the horses fly round the track. Oh, I can't look! Someone tell me when they're back. Today's the day I get up on my luck. My fortune's long past due. I'll prove to myself I'm more than a schmuck. And I'll make our dreams come true.
A dead-on Richard Dreyfuss from a generic New York borough.
I think if he were listening to this on the radio, he would go, When did I record that? I don't remember going into that podcast to record.
He would say to himself, when did I play Tevye? accurate? Uh-huh. Question mark?
Musically? Or lyrically? Or impression-wise?
Yeah, I think, musically it was pretty fun. Like, that's a really fun genre.
Yeah, it is fun. And in terms of just using the correct melodic and harmonic structures,
yes,
in terms of scales and chords, it was accurate.
Yeah.
And, same rhythms and structure. But, it's not really klezmer.
No. And I did look up, so people don't think I didn't do my due diligence. I did try to find themes of klezmer music, but really a lot of what I found was klezmer follows the range of human emotion. So it can be anywhere from really sad to really happy and celebratory, or a love song, or blah, blah. So it just seemed like, no, there isn't one unifying particular theme.
Sure.
Including horse racing.
Right. And also the upbeat, danceable kind of klezmer song that we made wouldn't necessarily be a I want song for a character.
No, but
it would probably be some kind of celebratory wedding song. but we did what we could.
Yeah. Tried to tell the story of the movie a little bit.
Wow.
Yeah.
I want to see if this movie's on Netflix.
If anyone has watched this movie, please tweet
at us.
Please
let us know. Yeah.
And let us know if it's as bad as it looks in the trailer, which we will tweet the trailer.
We'll treat...
Treat the trailer.
We'll tweet the trailer.
We will
also...
Shtick the slap.
What else did we say we were going to tweet? Oh, We Are Back, starring John Goodman.
Oh.
As an animated T-Rex.
Was he orange?
Yep.
I have seen this.
Yep, you have.
Oh my gosh. Yes, we will also tweet that.
Yep.
Because I forgot that I knew it.
It's the best.
Yeah, that's amazing.
If you like this episode and you want some more, follow us on Twitter at SongSaladCast. You can also find us on our website, www.
Stop doing the www's.
I'm making it very clear.
One day I will win this.
http://www.songsaladpodcast.com/
Slash?
At the end.
Do you need a slash at the end?
I don't know.
At least you said slash and not backslash, because backslashes aren't actually a thing either.
I don't know.
Okay. Let us know what you want the salad spinner to sound like.
Yes.
And if you rate or review us on iTunes, we'll give you a shout out on the podcast, just like we did for Sammy Jelen.
Thanks, Sammy.
To be honest, he kind of likes the podcast.
TBH. Until next week.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're Richard Dreyfuss.
1, 2, 3, 4